This is the Bloomberg Advantage with Carol Masser and Corey Johnson on Bloomberg Radio.
Doug Ziyoka joins us right now, the CEO of Cavor Capital. With a look at the impact of the presidential elections on the markets, Doug, we've seen some economists and even companies sort of say that certain kind of spending has been lighter because of the presidential elections and the quote-unquote uncertainty. There's our cliche. But I wonder what you see when you look at the impact of the presidential elections on the markets.
Yeah, thanks for having me on this afternoon. I think it's been pretty interesting in so much as this year has really bucked history as it relates to the market's volatility leading up to the actual election, right? We're barely registering. Today is we've heard a couple times, it's been the first day in the S&P of a move of up or down 1% in, 43 trading days since the 27th of June. So we're finally seeing a little bit of an elevation of the VIX. But it's not really even registering historically where it would tend to be leading up to an election. And what makes that probably even more pronounced is the likely margin of victory of this election is going to be tiny. And it tends to be more negatively skewed from a performance and positively skewed to the higher volatility when the level of ambiguity in the outcome and the small margin of victory transpires. So those types of things have been a little bit surprising from a historical outlying standpoint, as have been the sectors of the market that have done well to this point versus those that tend to do well, this point being 2016, versus those that have tended to do well historically during an election year. So it's definitely one that, you know, all candidate personalities, nuances, and picadillos aside, from an economic standpoint and its market impact, has been reasonably unique.
Doug Ziyoka, Kansas, that's where you are, Leawood, Kansas. It's been a deep red state for, I think, the past six years or so, a few years here.
Right.
What's the discussion, the political discussion going on in Kansas, and do you think it'll remain a red state?
But I think everything's up for grabs. You know, that the polling biases are interesting. The promotion of the change candidates are interesting. You can never say this year that nothing couldn't happen standpoint. It seems like people have been lax to confront reality and are still adhering more to ideology. And by that I mean is we don't want to necessarily believe that the best of both parties have put forth their candidate, yet with less than 2 months to go to the election, we're starting to understand that one of these two, Clinton or Trump, is going to win. So then you start saying, well, if we incorporate that into our calculus, what are the real implications for us personally as Kansans, for Americans, and then for investors? And the market, the investor, the American citizen, I mean, we're all walking a tightrope right now between politics and economics, between Washington and Wall Street, between uncertainty and ambiguity. And this tightrope, right, is being traversed just as the Fed is removing the safety net. So even though the Fed may not creep into the daily Kansans' life and their cognizant thought process, it does, as it relates, and Corey may have mentioned or made reference to this in the lead-in, purchasing patterns and consumer confidence, and those are obviously two big things that drive the economy.
I wonder also, as we see that, do you see particular sectors or types of companies more at risk of problems as it relates to slowing spending and other things that might come from this election?
I think so, Corey. But again, spending is a function of the financing capability thereof, right? If the election comes through, right, what there are four sort of key areas: infrastructure, which is more of a government allocation of capital; healthcare policy, which is kind of collected between the populace, the general population, and the government; defense, which is going to be mostly, if not all, government; and then financial regulation, which permeates all aspects of society. So we look at kind of the election implications, but also in the context of the valuation of the sectors that become attractive as investment alternatives. As I started to say earlier, the juxtaposition of the sectors that have done well this year versus those that have done well historically in election years is really pronounced, right? Telecommunications being the number one performing sector in the market in 2016 is historically the very worst performing sector during an election year, which I think is really interesting. Healthcare is one of the best historically performing sectors during an election year, and this year is the worst performing sector through the end of August in 2016. So I think there's a general sense of befuddlement about where we're going to identify value. And any time that takes place, the best thing people can do is sort of just regress to expected returns as dictated by valuations. And there are certainly still some valuations in the market that are attractive.
Doug, I mean, how much of kind of what we're seeing in terms of market trends and how they're diverging from what we've seen historically in election years, how much of that is just people are kind of focusing more on kind of the fundamentals in terms of really easy monetary policy, what's going to happen with that, and those kinds of things, rather than maybe how the elections could affect the market, and also maybe people just kind of figuring politics doesn't change that much.
I think you're 100% right, and as it relates to the latter weighing more heavily on the psychology. I mean, what did we learn from Brexit after the initial 3 or 4 days of freak out, which was this? Hey, this is going to be a pretty long inoculation period. We're not even sure what's going to happen. The freakout that transpired looks to have been overdone, and now we're in a much higher level of normalcy and typical type of trading patterns. I think the initial shock, the wearing off, the resiliency that needs to be sort of a part of the Kansas citizen, the American citizen, and the investor, there's thankfully a steadfast determination to continue to persevere. And if you think about all the stuff that's happened at the election and all the speeches and certainly the chest-pounding stump poses by both candidates every couple hours these days, what has really impacted the market on this first day in 42 or 43 of a 1% move in the S&P has been this cast of hawks that have caused what we're now calling the hiking hiccup as compared to 2013's taper tantrum, right? And, Corey, I thought you'd appreciate the fact that a group of hawks is known as a cast, a kettle, or a boil. And you had Rosengren, Gundlach, and Draghi in the last 2 days.
In that kettle, yes.
In that
fish,
kettle.
Even.
So all of us. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I agreed. I think with all the issues out there and all the uncertainty out there, you know, let's throw in Zika on top of that, and
right.
This is going to be an interesting sort of year end as we get to closer and closer to that election. Doug Sciocca,
I don't think there's any question. It's going to be a very, very interesting year end.
Indeed. Doug Sciocca, CEO of KFAR Capital. So glad to have you. You are listening to the Bloomberg Advantage on Bloomberg Radio. Corey Johnson here in San Francisco. Sun is coming out in San Francisco. The clouds, the fog is burning off finally.
It's a little cloudy here, though. Are you guys sending it this way?
We're winning. Yes,
the
you can
nerve.
Have it. You can have it. All right. You're listening to Bloomberg Advantage on Bloomberg Radio. This is Bloomberg.